Welcome everyone to Weekly Gaming News on September 22nd, 2025, also known as Bilbo and Frodo's birthday. I'm Jackson Warfield of Jackson's Warfield on YouTube and other places like Spotify, and I'm joined by Final Gaming.
Hey everyone, I'm Final Gaming from Instagram and also other places.
Yeah, I feel like you're mainly Instagram. I'm mainly YouTube.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be doing the same categories we've gone over in the first couple podcasts here. We're going to talk about board game hotness, what board games are on Kickstarter right now, what board games are getting talked about right now. Basically talk about the things you need to have your attention on. We're going to talk about trading card games and there's a litany of releases that are coming up very soon. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of gaming conventions. But first, we're going to talk tabletop miniatures. Mostly Warhammer, I'd imagine, but we'll find out in a second. So, Final, I'm going to hand off to you to do our miniature news. Little
bits. Yeah, so it was a pretty, another big Warhammer week. I think once they heard that we were doing this, because obviously they all know that we're doing this now, they loaded all of their announcements into this part of the year. But the big, well, no, not the big, but the first announcement they made was Monday, that the Warhammer Day miniatures are coming out. There's the Chaos Exalted Hero, Urkan, and I don't quite know. It's a Slaves to Darkness miniature for Age of Sigmar. I don't quite know too much about him, but he does look really cool with a tactical rock and flowing cape and all that. And then there's also this one I'm sure everyone's going to get excited about, a new Space Marine Captain. This one with a jump pack, relic shield, and Thunderhammer.
Oh.
Yeah, as expected, a lot of people are very excited for it.
I can sense all the enthusiasm.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm looking. It kind of reminds me of a Vanguard veteran, and I'm really hoping they make a Primaris version of them someday. But this could be a good start. The relic shield looks really nice, though.
Yeah. What do you think about the Slaves to Darkness guy?
He's cool. I'm trying not to fall back into the Slaves to Darkness rabbit hole that I did a couple years ago when I went out and bought a battle box and Vanguard box and way too many boxes.
Do you still have those boxes or have you offloaded them?
I've offloaded the army box, thankfully. But hey, I started the Vanguard and I also had a Chaos Warriors box, I think, that I started. So I'm kind of stuck with those.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the worst things to be stuck with, I guess. So, all right. So is it any other things to tease us out of going into money spending rabbit holes?
Well, as far as pre-orders go for next week. Yeah, this is coming out Monday. Next week, Warhammer 40K is going to get the Jukari 10th edition release. They're getting their codex, a new HQ. We already talked about this last week during their announcement, but I guess they're coming next week. And the big other thing that wasn't mentioned was that the racks, these like, I don't even know what they are, living test subjects, are getting a standalone release outside of the combat patrol.
Oh, interesting.
But besides the Jukari, the Death Corps of Krieg are also getting a new combat patrol. They got one announced alongside the Harlequins a couple days ago, but for some reason, only the Death Corps are getting their pre-order. I guess anyone wanting a Harlequin combat patrol is going to wait some more. But I think they're used to waiting since they keep getting a codex and then having it get taken away and all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, swapping between editions, you know, and what the, maybe they get one in each at the end of each even number edition or odd number. I don't know when the last Harlequin codex came out, but they were basically ended by 10th, right?
Yeah, I think they were in, I want to say 9th edition, one of our good buddies that we started with picked Harlequins at first, but for some reason decided not to go with them. Did a swaparoo on you, if you remember.
Yeah, well, also, you know, he gave himself like a night and a half to paint 1,000 points worth of Harlequins. And
that was not great.
Yeah, he really came up with. I'm still waiting for Codex Empty Bases to come out, and we can bring them back in. But it does look interesting, though, that Combat Patrol, or that Drakari has the Battle Force, and then that, yeah, the Combat Patrol, the racks that you're talking about. It's interesting how you can buy the separate parts of the Jukari army, because you have the, I guess, the homunculi, where they really get into, like, the, you know, the tortured guys and stuff, as opposed to the like the black armor, you know, S&M elves.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if the Combat Patrol is a good buy or not. I haven't gotten really good feedback on Instagram and YouTube about it, but it has 10 racks. Wait, let me count. Yeah, 10 racks. Two of those floaty guys. What is it, a Kronos and a Talos? And a Homunculus. I don't know. That doesn't seem like it hit the $170.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe our sense of $170 is just going to go the way of, you know, grandma giving us a quarter for milk.
But the last big thing from the pre-order previews is something big apparently is going to happen today, Monday. There's going to be I'm just going to read it off the website, a fairly weighty reveal on Monday, which is currently prepping for a speedy arrival in the hallowed halls of a battle barge high in orbit. So the battle barges are the giant ships that the Space Marines use. So we're getting some more Space Marines, which is exciting. But Reddit seems to think that we're getting the Assault Terminators finally for the upscaled ones.
Oh, that's it? They don't think it's something even bigger like a Primarch or something?
The other rumor was the Khan coming, but I haven't really seen much demand for him.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a way to stimulate it if it's only one of a handful of Primarchs you can get.
Yeah, that's true. But that does wrap up the Warhammer news. A tiny bit of other miniature news, though. Star Wars Legion had their Galactic Empire and Rebels starter sets released last week to a lot of good fanfare. They are very much worth the price that they're being asked for, about $100, I think. You might be able to get them cheaper somewhere online and stuff. And the Galactic Republic and Separatist one should be coming out a couple of weeks, mid-October, I'm thinking.
You know, I don't have that much to say about it. I don't know why I jumped in there. I'm not. I don't anticipate really going down the Star Wars rabbit hole or Star Wars Legion rabbit hole myself, but it is. I don't know. I wonder how many people are using Star Wars Legion as their jump into tabletop miniatures gaming, because it's the price difference is so stark now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That's one of the big things about Legion that everyone likes, is it's the price compared to Warhammer is pretty low, relatively low. But there's also the alternate activations that we haven't really, you know, you don't have to sit there and wait for an entire army to move.
Yeah. That's preferred. I prefer that a lot. It does create some problems where you feel like you have half your army just watching, but I don't mind it.
Yeah. I don't know. I picked up a couple boxes over the weekend. Not the starter set, but we'll see.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about it at the end maybe. And with the what did you, WDYP, can also talk to what did you purchase. What did you purchase? Not just what did you paint or what did you play?
Yeah, but that wraps up the major miniature news from this week.
All right, so I guess we'll get started with the board game hotness. So we have a couple holdovers on the hotness list. The number one game on the hotness is The Fate of the Fellowship right now. We talked about this last week, and I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but I'll say the reason why The Fate of the Fellowship is the number one game on the Board Game Geek hotness is because the review channel Shut Up and Sit Down reviewed it, and that tends to happen. If for anyone not familiar, Shut Up and Sit Down is focused on doing high-quality board game reviews. They only do like one a week. They're different from a channel like the Dice Tower. Well, they try to review basically every game that's ever made, and they release probably multiple reviews per day. So The Fate of the Fellowship, and I'm going to talk about this maybe a little bit later because I did finally play it. But that's number one in the hotness. Number two in the hotness is a game called Ants, which I didn't have a chance to look at what that is. Hopefully that sticks around. We'll talk about that in a future episode. We also have Magical Athlete, which, like Container that we've talked about before, is the remaking of an older game. And I believe the older version of Magical Athlete is out there. This is a silly game. Some people swore by it. Some reviewers swore by it. It's basically a game where you're running around a board and you have characters that have abilities to say, like, there's the banana. And if you pass the banana, you have to stop because you trip or something like that. Like, there's just like these silly things. So it's just a chaotic race. So we'll look at it. That could end up being a really good kids game. Now, I think that's just the announcing of the new edition is why it's up there on the hotness. But potentially more urgent to discuss is the Andromeda's Edge Genesis expansion Kickstarter, which is ending in, I think, 3 days. So if we're releasing this, it says 2 days and 16 hours as we're recording this. So that'll be, yeah. So it's ending about Wednesday this week. So we got about 2 days if you're, when you're getting this episode. Andromeda's Edge is an asymmetrical, it's, you know, space, a little bit of space opera, a mix of mechanics. It's a modern board game, I'll put it that way. It's got a lot of things going on. You got cards, you got resource management. It's based on the game Dwellings of Eldervale. I always call it Elverdale, but it's Eldervale. It's a game that has, I have not played Andromeda's Edge myself, but I've seen people rank Dwellings of Eldervale very highly on greatest games of all times lists. I actually own a copy of Andromeda's Edge. I saw someone in the area was moving and was thus selling their Andromeda's Edge Collector's Edition for a very reasonable price, maybe less reasonable if you consider how low on the list of games to play it is for me and how much I spent on it. It's on the top of my shelves. It's a pretty sizable box. It was one of those games where, like, one day after we've played Twilight Imperium another like two or three times and played.
So about 2040 or so.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, this will be, they'll have the new edition by that time. So, yeah, that's the big one. Honestly, I would recommend this one as a buy because there's nothing that I can say that's really wrong with the campaign. It's a well-designed game that I can see without having played it, because I can't, but not that anyone would really care about whether or not I personally like the game, but there's nothing sticking out to me to say this is an avoid. If you don't own Dwellings of Eldervale and you don't own Andromeda's Edge and you're willing to, you know, go all in on a new game and have something to be excited about shipping in the next year or so, I think this is a pretty good buy.
Great. Now I have to go look it up and
yeah. Well,
hopefully I don't get FOMO for all the higher tier rewards.
Yeah, that's always tough. You know, with board games, a lot of these higher tier rewards are things like bits, trays, and stuff like that. I don't know how necessary that is. You happen to know someone now who has a copy that we could play at some point, provided I don't, you know, provided I don't end up selling it by the time we get down the list there. It feels like it takes up a similar spot in the collection as Twilight Imperium, but not exactly the same.
Interesting. We'll have to move it up the list then. You're starting to sell me on it, but then it's like, oh, after a couple more games of Twilight Imperium, which we're averaging, what, one every 2 years now? Something like that?
Yeah. Might be able to get one in soon, but we'll see. There's someone that's the kind of game where they make you have to sign up for it like an Eventbrite to play these games. and the last one I'll mention before we move off the hotness is starting the day this podcast gets released, or maybe the day after, is the Game Found campaign for Grimdark Future Broken Truth. And this one is a little bit more of a miniatures game. Grimdark Future is the 40K free like rules made by One Page Rules. I should introduce it this way. One Page Rules is a company that makes simplified rules for games like... It's not a simplified rules for a game. They make simpler games and simpler rule sets for you to use your miniatures in. So if you're frustrated by Warhammer 40,000 being super rulesy, what you can do is just have your Warhammer miniatures download One Page Rules and the appropriate game, and then it's pretty easy to use that to play, and games are simpler. Grimdark Future is the wink, wink, this is the 40K knockoff, wink, wink, game system. And they're actually now producing a starter set where you can buy all of their, a bunch of miniatures. I think they're 3D printed. That's starting up. So that's worth looking into, because these guys are actually pretty good at designing rule sets for miniatures games, unlike other companies like, say, Games Workshop tends to be.
Ooh, careful. They can hear you.
Yeah, a little too heretical. But all right, the hotness has started to cool off a little bit. What's how hot are the wallets getting for TCG players these days?
TCG news.
Oh man. So the Phantasmal Flames, I guess, expansion of Mega Evolution, the Mega Evolution set, is launching November 14th, which is big news. Pre-orders came and went so fast. I think they lasted probably 30 seconds or so on the Pokemon Center site. It has met a lot of angry people. This is their second try for this pre-order on the Pokemon Center. The original one just kind of, they forgot to set limits in, is the rumor. And there were some scalpers that they just bought 40,000 boxes or something like that to try and resell later on. It was insane.
Wow. Okay. So things going swimmingly over there.
Yeah. Pokemon is an interesting thing. I don't even know if it fits into TCG anymore. It's just a whole category by itself.
I think we're in a phase where anybody that would be at the perfect age to pick it up as a kid is not getting it because no one's spending this kind of money on stuff for, for like their 10-year-old that is just like, I kind of want this. It's unfortunate, but hopefully they'll just ramp up production enough that we'll just be flooded with cards again from like 2026 to 7 or something. And we won't have short memories and we'll actually buy stuff then.
Yeah. But then with all the bots and stuff, I'm sure those will all sell out too. They need to make some kind of made to order set or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of cool it off.
I know. Yeah. I don't know even how to do this. I mean, I guess you just got to hope it ebbs and flows and doesn't just go nuts forever. It can't go like this forever, right?
There's got to be some kind of bubble where people just don't want to buy it anymore. I don't know. Sometimes I'll go around the Pokemon investing Reddit, and it's just it's crazy the amount of the stockpiles that people have. It's like some kind of rainy day fund, but like a retirement fund instead, just of Pokemon cards.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, someone has to be there to buy it too. Like, people are literally buying it at these higher prices, expecting to sell it at even higher prices. So I don't even know what kicked off this particular, it's almost like a short squeeze. I don't know. It's not like a short squeeze.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is like stocks though. It's like, it's worth a lot of money if you sell it. Right. So if you see all those CEOs who are worth hundreds of billions of dollars and it's like, okay, well they are, but they're not, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Right.
But besides Pokemon, Magic the Gathering had their Spider-Man Secret Lair set launched last week. And that was, as far as I can see, a bit of a flop. It sounds like people are cooling off on the Secret Lair stuff, or Spider-Man just really doesn't fit into Magic. A lot of the pre-releases, at least around where I am, and also on Reddit, it looks like there was plenty of room. And there's still boxes for sale everywhere, at least from the local game stores. It just, something happened with this one. It definitely didn't hit as hard as the Final Fantasy or Lord of the Rings one.
I guess there's just limited money maybe to go around. Everyone's just buying Pokemon cards.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of sad.
It's a similar market. It's not the same market, but it's similar.
Yeah. But besides that, for Magic, Secret Lair announcing another collab. This one I'm not too annoyed about, but it's a Secret Lair and Play-Doh collab. And it seems a little weird at first, but apparently it's supposed to benefit the Extra Life charity. They raise money for children's hospitals and stuff, so at least it's for a good cause.
Play-Doh?
Yeah.
Wow.
For children's hospital?
I guess that makes sense. that could work.
Maybe you can get your kids into Magic now.
Yeah, that would do it. ironically, they do seem a little bit more interested in Pokemon cards than they have been at times. So it's like, oh, great. You couldn't have done this last year. Yeah. yeah, we did. We didn't open the packs, but I did unseal a couple Pokeball tins over the weekend. So, and I mean, the packs aren't crazy. Like, no individual pack that we have is like over $12 online. I think like maybe Lost Origin, but that might even be six. Silver Tempest is one of them. I don't know. The individual packs actually aren't terrible. I think it's really just like the big sealed product things. But
yeah, it's just the whole Schrodinger's cat thing that kind of is weird. It's like they're worth a lot until you open them, and then they're worthless.
Right. Well, yeah, also because the act of opening it on a live stream or a break or something is by itself worth all the traffic behind it too. Like, I think that's a factor.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we have to start a live streaming channel for this.
I know. I hope not.
But yeah, that wraps up TCG news. That was really all the major stuff that came out this week.
All right. Well, I guess relatively large news then in the world of conventions.
Incoming conventions.
Is the World Series of Board Gaming, which I completely glossed over for some reason last week. This is despite the fact that I was looking it up like a week before we started the podcast up, which is like a month ago now. So the World Series of Board Gaming, for those unfamiliar, is a tournament that caps off in Las Vegas and is going on this weekend. So if you're getting this podcast, the World Series is going to be finishing up within 48 hours. The way that, maybe actually a little bit longer, I think it might be Wednesday is the finals. But anyway, the way it works is you have 16 board games and you have a champion for each of these games. And there are rules around who actually gets to get into the final round where you can play games, but you can't play a game you're necessarily like a champion of. But you basically, if you want to win the World Series of Board Gaming, once you know what the 16 games are, you get really good at them. You win the most local tournament you can find and / pay the ticket and go to Las Vegas. And I think they have other ways people can play their way in there for high rollers. It's not as big as the World Series of Poker. There are live streams on the Dice Towers YouTube channel. If you somebody want to check out, you'll see the Dice Towers attempt to do play-by-play on board games like Azul, which is kind of fun to watch in and of itself. The games, if anyone's curious, I'm just going to real quick rifle through what the ring games are for the World Series of Board Gaming this year. You have Ark Nova, The Castles of Burgundy, The White Castle, Seven Wonders, SETI, Dune Uprising, Wingspan, Splendor. Sorry, this is actually for next year.
For no reason.
Yeah. Earth. This is for people that want to train for it next year. Earth, Brass Birmingham, Ticket to Ride, Azul, Terraforming Mars, Lost Ruins of Arnak, Cascadia, and Acquire. And I actually think most of these games were part of the ring games this year, too. Like, I know Azul and the White Castle were. I just got to get my lists in order. New podcast, people. Don't worry, we're getting our things together here. So if you want to check that out, I think there are a few semifinals to go, and the final is usually Wednesday. But make sure it's Tuesday, because you can't trust me. And I'm not going to lie. Part of me wants to try and actually make the World Series of Board Gaming next year.
Hey, I mean, it's good content.
Yeah, that's true.
You can do some live streams from there. Maybe do a podcast on the sidelines. Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah. It's very different, though. Like, because I'm used to just curating games. I'm used to hosting games and trying to make sure other people are having fun. I'm not used to trying to win and destroy people in board games.
He's lying, everyone. He's lying.
No. It depends on the crowd, I guess. anyway, so that's what we have for conventions, which brings us to the final part of the podcast, WDYP. So what did you, and it could be paint, it could be play, and I guess we decided it could be purchase, and it also could be plan. So, final, what's your WDYP for this week?
Oh, man. So, I feel like I've been talking about them forever, but I finally finished my Necron Warrior project. I did six of the Games Workshop major dynasties, and the last one that I forgot what we agreed their pronunciation was, Nihilak?
Nihilak.
With all the stripes and stuff. Yeah, that one took a bit. I just ended up giving up on the strikes and just did one on the helmet. So he kind of looks like a space marine now. That's great.
He couldn't pull it off. He couldn't just.
I like procrastinated on it. I was just looking at it and like, oh, I can do this. No, that won't work. You know, I'm just going to skip it. But that went through, finished my video on YouTube. Hint, hint, you know, plug. What did you plug this week? Maybe.
Yeah. What did you plug? Yeah.
So that's all set and out on YouTube now in case anyone's interested. Another hint, shoulder nudge. But besides that, like I mentioned before, I bought two squads, I guess, for Star Wars Legion. Maybe I'll pivot into it. I just wanted to give them a try. I bought the B2 battle droids, the big metal colored guys with the wrist blasters. And I also bought Commander Cody and his squad. So that should be an interesting paint. I think the B2s at least are, they seem simple enough, hopefully not deceptively so. And might be a good palate cleanser from Warhammer.
Yeah, I think Star Wars would be different enough from Warhammer. Plus, would you with Star Wars, is your thought that you would try to match existing color schemes, kind of like you did with like the GW Dynasties and High Fleets?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the B2, I don't know if you're familiar with, I know you're not a huge fan of Star Wars, but the B2 guys, they're, what, like two colors? So yeah. I might be able to throw some finesse in there, but they wouldn't be too hard to match up.
Yeah. All right, well, that's an eventful week at least. And I'm looking at your Nierlock guy, and I see where you might have kind of punted, but... Necrons aren't your strong suit, you know. Like I said, the Space Marines just had to come through somehow.
Yeah, I had two of them. It was the Novak, I think, as well. Kind of looked like a Space Marine sergeant.
Nice.
What was on your list for the week?
Yeah, so no major painting this week. I played Fate of the Fellowship. So this is the Pandemic meets War of the Ring / Lord of the Rings game. And that game was really good. I am also the target audience for this because I already like Pandemic quite a bit, and I like Lord of the Rings quite a bit. And I was just amazed at how well everything worked. And I think the biggest observation I have is that the Pandemic infection deck, if you're not familiar with Pandemic, basically you have a deck of cards that tells you which cities have disease pop up, was actually kind of like an Automa deck. So within board gaming, we'll refer to, if you play a solo game, you usually have, if you play a game that's not normally solo and you want to play it solo, you often have an Automa deck of cards. Automa is like Italian for automatic. It's where that simulates another player. It's Automa because I think the first game to do this was Viticulture. So that kind of just caught on as an Automa deck. And usually that would be like you flip over a card and it'll be like describe actions that your opponent does. I never realized that the Pandemic Infection deck could be so easily turned into, it's effectively a troop movement Automa deck. Because what you're doing in Fate of the Fellowship is you're pretty much walking, you know, the ring into Mordor and while fighting all the wars on the side. It's so well done. I'm surprised. Like, I wouldn't have even had the idea to do this with a Pandemic game, much less think it could be pulled off so well. So that game, one of the highest rated games I've ever had on one play. And it's a bad sign for my backlog because I'm going to want to keep playing this one for a bit.
Is it like a big game? I can't really picture it. I'm picturing the Pandemic board, but then you're talking about getting the ring to Mordor and all the wars and battles and all that on the side?
Yeah, so you're pretty much trying to keep all of that at bay while you're trying to dunk the ring in the volcano. So picture the Pandemic map being just Middle Earth, and you have troops on the board. You actually have other missions you have to accomplish before you destroy the ring, which are very often evoking the movie. And I'll put a picture up to of the board on the screen, and it has, you know, nice components and stuff. It's got this really cool dice tower that looks like Barad-dûr. So it's, yeah, it's great. I like it. And it's the first time I've played a game in years that I thought to myself, this could one day be my number one game of all time.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. And the fact that Chubb Sit Down just reviewed it is also a sign that maybe buy it if you get a chance so it doesn't, in case it sells out. although Z-Man Games should be pretty good at keeping this in stock. And to do one more WDYP, though, I also made a miniature game purchase. It wasn't Star Wars Legion, though.
Uh-oh.
So I found myself at our localist game store where there was a sale going on various non-40K, non-magic games, mainly miniatures games. And one particular game I was hoping was on sale. It was not on sale. But they gave me a discount, enough that I would basically be paying the price you'd pay on Amazon. And I saw a review of this game recently. I thought, like, you know what? I got to eventually get it. It's kind of up my alley. I'm going to be able to play with my kids before the Warhammer stuff. So I got Halo Flashpoint.
Oh, there it is.
I finally got it. Yeah, I got not the Recon Edition, the larger one, the one with more Spartans and stuff, and the Elites. I should probably know the name of the product I got.
Can we expect a painting? Are they painted, actually, before I say that?
No, they come unpainted. They come colored, like colored plastic.
Okay. So can we expect a painting video sometime soon?
I don't know about soon.
I'm surprised it took you this long, because are they on a new edition now or something? I started seeing a lot of news about it lately. I say lately, probably within the last couple of months. And I don't know, they either had a really big sale or they just had a new edition come out.
Honestly, I don't think that there's anything. I'm not aware of anything that special coming out. It was the Spartan edition I got, by the way. It seems like it's just a good game, and maybe people are finding out about it. I could be totally wrong, and that there's a very good reason behind this. It's like I don't think there's had any new major box set in a while, but yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll get an update on that in a future podcast, but I have it in my possession now, so I'm invested. It's on the list.
Everyone message him for a painting video.
Let's do it. Geez. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll fix my lighting this time. All right. I think that wraps up the weekly news. We actually did this faster than last time. So if you're looking to see any of our videos, also I'll plug my video for this week, the Board Gaming Hobby Iceberg video. If you know what that is, you can look forward to that. Jackson's Warfield on YouTube. And then Final, you haven't changed your name, obviously.
Nope, still Final Gaming on everything. And I haven't thought of a video for this week yet. So I'll just plug a bunch of shorts. So check out my shorts. Nice. Wait, no, don't. Anyway.
All right, play the music.